Well, thanks, Barry. I'll try and make up some time. Huh? I've been asked to talk about the prospects for private sector participation, and I think I'm going to be talking in a time frame that is in the short to medium, I suppose. We've had a lot of conversations, or there's been a lot of discussion about, I guess, a little bit longer in terms of time frames. But I'll be the first to admit that this is a reasonably crude diagram, but in terms of context, we see that there's the obvious demand and supply equation happening there. And at Melbourne Water, we've obviously, or in Victoria generally, we're in a situation where our supply is much less than demand at the moment, and we're currently embarking on quite a significant capital program, which Ian suggested earlier. Now, I suppose I've categorised this investment that we've got going into three sort of main things in the right side in terms of infrastructure solutions, and they're the big sexy supply augmentation projects that are happening at the moment, the not so sexy system efficiency projects, and interestingly at Melbourne Water we've, in terms of our investment program, we have a number of supply augmentation projects that seems, in order to secure our supply, that seems to intersect at the time where actually our investment in our own renewals is also peaking. So we've got a significant investment program, really two drivers. And then, of course, there's always the option of new market type projects. So a bit of a snapshot I guess what's happening at Melbourne Water in terms of private sector participation. In terms of delivering water to our customers, 75% I guess of our OPEX to deliver water is outsourced. Most of our maintenance, in fact all of our maintenance for all of our plants is outsourced. And in terms of our capital investment, we don't build much ourselves. 98% of our capital expenditure is outsourced. In the short to medium term, as we move to our diversified our new sources coming online, we expect that our OPEX expenditure obviously will be outsourced to as desalinated water comes online. More of that will go out, as will our OPEX increase. And, of course, moving into the short to medium term, to deliver such a significant program, obviously our investment's considerably higher, and we'll be doing that in closer partnership. And I guess that's the theme of what I wanted to talk about today in terms of prospects for the private sector. It's not so much the volume of work that we're doing, it's the way that we're going to deliver work. And, of course, in the long term, we've had lots and lots of discussion of these things, which may indeed affect what happens at Melbourne Water in the future. So the first point that I would like to talk about is the increasing complexity that we have in delivering projects. I won't talk about all of these items, but we know that the projects that we've got on our plan at the moment and ones that we have coming up very shortly are in an environment, or being delivered in an environment, where there is, I guess, what can only be described as a number of uncertainties. Once upon a time, we were able to think very carefully about what projects we were going to deliver and how. Our lead times for developing projects are significantly shorter because of the uncertainties. Do we know exactly what climate change is going to do in terms of the effect of our inflows? Are we planning for the worst-case scenario, the mid-case scenario, whatever? So in terms of the lead times for our projects, we need to be a little bit more light-footed, and we don't have the luxury of planning our projects for many years before they actually start. Interestingly, compliance and approvals process for projects are becoming a lot more complex. Recently, we received approval for the Sugarloaf pipeline. There was 22 separate government approvals for that project. There's no small undertaking to have a fast-track project and go through all of those approvals processes. 10 years ago, you wouldn't have had to have had those sort of approvals. Now, in the end, that ends up in a very good result in terms of the robustness of the investment decision, but also the controls that are put in place to get a sustainable outcome. But I have to say that those processes do take a lot of energy. And then the third water, I guess stakeholder management I'd also like to mention, because that's another significant, complex aspect of delivering projects. Water is now a top three issue through surveys and of things that are affecting our nation. So it's in the conscious of most of our community and stakeholders. We've had, in the last 2 years, a 1,000% increase in website hits. So you can see that with the grand final approaching and the number of barbecues that we're going to be having, I don't know whether the question or the conversation really revolves around whether Geelong's going to win the grand final, but more about, well, how are the water supply augmentation projects going? And everybody seems to have an opinion. I mean, it's pretty hard to go anywhere without having a conversation about water. But that all adds to an increased complexity in delivering projects. Now, I've got a few graphs to show. This is construction activity. So I guess what I'm getting at is that not only is our projects becoming more complex, we're also delivering them in a time of, resource scarcity. This shows Victorian construction activity and that compares also what's happening in the water industry. You can see that since 2000 and forecast to 2011 there, activities effectively tripled over 10 years. So there's a significant increase in infrastructure investment in Victoria. And you can see next year there's a significant peak. And in fact, water investment in Victoria is about four times more, well, it will be four times next year, our historical investment. Now, I've taken one source of forecasting information there because it's easily accessible, but you can there's various other forecasting, data around, and it all tells a very similar story. So you can see there we've got an investment peak next year. So really we're going to have to achieve a lot more with a lot less. Now, to put that into context, in a national perspective, activities quadrupling in 10 years over that same period. And in the water industry, we've got a very sustained investment. And in fact, WASA, our industry peak group, mentioned last week, I think, in a release that we're now $2 billion into a $30 billion investment program. So the future looks pretty rosy in terms of projects for the private sector to be involved in. The purpose of these graphs were really just to demonstrate that we have to deliver this program and we can't really draw from our traditional, markets for resources. Everywhere's busy. And I guess maybe in 2012 we might get some relief as the mining sector reduces their investment, but I'd have to say, particularly in terms of Victoria, the horse is somewhat bolted by the time we may get access to some of those resources. So what are we doing about it? We're going to have to achieve more with less, and we're going to do that through partnering. So you can see there our challenge is to deliver a significantly larger capital program, and of course we've got increasing project complexity. Our strategy is effective and efficient partnering. At Melbourne Water we have four program alliances. We have two major maintenance alliances. We have one major project alliance, which is Sugarloaf, and we have three major projects being delivered with an incentive-based contract. This problem we've been thinking about for a number of years, and the solution just doesn't happen overnight. And we've put a number of, activities in place to enable us to be an effective partner. So we've gone to market with an attractive and commercially sustainable offering. We have set up a very robust governance framework to ensure that we achieve value out of our partnering arrangements. We've got an organisational-wide commitment. In fact, all of our senior executives are involved in the leadership of each of our delivery programs. We've embarked on a very significant cultural change program, which isn't necessarily driven around delivering our capital program, but it certainly is a very strong enabler. And we've also made it spent a lot of time ensuring that the commercial returns for our partners are closely linked to Melbourne Water's key strategic goals. So I think the purpose of those slides really were to really promote some discussion, I suppose. So I welcome any questions that you have, and that really concludes what I wanted to say.